Welcome everyone to our World Peace Diet call. This is November 19th, 2015, and I'm delighted to be able to share with you as we travel. Madeline and I are just started a couple of days ago our 2015 into 16, but we're going to be traveling for about 11 months in our rolling home. We left on Sunday from Northern California, and we're now in Flagstaff, Arizona. So this is a wonderful opportunity. We're calling it the Healing Our World Tour, lecture tour, and it's very exciting to see the way people are responding to the possibilities of our spreading the message of compassion for animals. And so thanks for everyone for joining us. We've got lots of news ideas to share, and especially we're going to be toward the beginning of the call. The plan is to have Lorena Muke join us. She's one of our World Peace Diet facilitators who's just now launching a nonprofit that has really, I think, a lot of potential for bringing the message of veganism to lots of people, especially young people. All right, so let's, as we usually begin our time, let's just take a moment and tune in before we jump into everything and give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have here this evening to share ideas and inspiration and information and feelings, understandings related to the transformative power of compassion and empathy for all living beings, for animals and for human beings, for ecosystems and future generations. And we give thanks for everyone who is joining us on the call, and knowing that each one of us is a center of a circle of influence and relationship, and that these centers of many circles, infinite circles that are interconnecting as we send the ripples of mindfulness and awareness and kindness out into the web of relations through our thoughts and words and deeds, that they do touch others in profound ways that plant seeds of healing and peace. And we give thanks for everyone who in the past and in the future and in the present is joining us in this work of helping humanity to awaken out of the trance of separation from nature and from animals and from the whole celebration of life here on this beautiful planet, that we may remember the truth that we are, remember the beauty and abundance of this earth and of all celebrations of life here, and prove ourselves to be worthy of living on this beautiful planet, and stop attacking things and begin to cooperate and live in harmony with a deeper level of being by questioning the underlying and obsolete programming of our society that in many ways is not in our best interest and forces us to participate in systems that are devastating. So we give thanks that all the ripples that radiate from our being together here on this call this evening go forth to bless all beings of the past, present, and future. Okay, so bless you all. Thanks again for joining us, and not only joining us, but for your interest and your dedication to helping to create a vegan world, a world based on nonviolence, a world based on ahimsa, the core spiritual teaching of all the world religions and spiritual teachings that teaches us that if we understand that others and ourselves are not essentially separate and do the best we can to live our lives as an expression of this truth, that not only are we blessing others, we actually are blessing ourselves. So it's really a very selfish thing to do. I mean, to be kind and loving to others, it actually is the foundation of happiness for ourselves. And the great irony is that we struggle so hard creating misery for ourselves by trying to compete with others and get something. And we're in many ways wounded, I think, by being raised in this society where from the time we're little kids, we're subjected to whole program, I think part, you know, just the way birth is done, the way the medical system is done, and educational system, and the whole religious system, governmental and economic systems, all of these kind of work together, and they're all manifestations of the herding culture, as we discuss in the World Peace Diet. It's really fascinating to see how this is playing out, and, you know, in the recent events, of course, in Paris, and all these other things that are happening, and the still small voice of wisdom and compassion does shine in our hearts, I know. And so I'm delighted to be able to have this time with everyone. And I'm also kind of looking to see if I can see where I'm joined by, yes, here it is, Lorena. Okay, so I want to say a few words about Lorena. We're going to start pretty much here in the beginning, having a chance to talk with her. And I want to say right in the beginning that this call is unusual. This is actually the first time, I think, and this is, I think, our 55th call. We've been doing this for quite a few years now, World Peace Diet Circle, on the third Thursday of every month. And but tonight I have, in a sense, a little bit of a double booking. I made a mistake on the time zone difference between Arizona and California, and scheduled a lecture here in Flagstaff at a vegan restaurant, which is, I'm sitting actually in a car in the parking lot of this vegan restaurant, Madeline is in there, and I'm out here, and the lecture is scheduled to begin at about 7:40. And I thought Arizona was on California time, so that that would give me time to finish up our thing, and then, because they wanted me to do a lecture here while we're in Flagstaff for just one day. And I realized that actually they're on a different time. So basically, a mountain time. So basically, I'm going to be on the call here for an hour from 6 to 7 Pacific time, or 7 to 8 mountain time, and then I'm going to have to leave and go give a lecture. So Madeline is going to be filling in for me in the beginning. And Tara, who is just our wonderful, long-time World Peace Diet facilitator, who I think all of you have probably heard her voice over the months and years, is going to step in at 8 o'clock to kind of wrap things up if we're still going on at that point, which we usually do. So that's the format, but we have this whole hour. So I'd like to say a couple of words about Lorena and then just introduce her. You know, she's someone we've spoken to before on this call. She's been a dedicated activist in the field of bringing the vegan message to younger people, to schools. And we talked with her a couple of times about how she's been doing that in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And so she's now embarking on a new chapter of this ministry, or of this project, this mission that she has. And I'm going to unmute your phone, Lorena, and I'd love if you could tell everybody what you're up to. And remember, everyone, you can join us all on this call by pressing, I'm forgetting what it is. I think it's star 6. I'll double check. But anyway, Lorena, it's so great to have you with us, and I'm going to unmute your phone now. And please, if you can, just let us know what it is that is new in your ongoing unfoldment of bringing the vegan message to our world.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me, Will. Hello to everyone. And I am very delighted to share that the Humane Education Program that I've been running for about 10 years, it's really taking off now in other states. We are actually, we launched about a week ago a fundraising campaign in order to, you know, raise enough funds to hire other educators. And just in these 2 months, we've hired an educator in Ohio who's already getting into schools. And our program has been very well received. He's given about 9 presentations in a month. So that's pretty good for his first month. Then we hired another educator in Columbia, South Carolina, and she already started presentations as well, and teachers are very happy with the program. And we have two educators, one from Chicago and another one from, from a small city in Texas, who are coming to train now in December so they can start in January. So we're really going strong and very, very well.
Wow, so that's a lot to take in. So you've you're no longer actually giving. How many presentations were you giving? I think if you can refresh our memory on that, every year it was quite a few, and then now you're actually teaching other people to do what you were doing.
Right. I continue giving as many presentations as I was before. So
really,
this year I actually am breaking my record. I by the end of the year I will have given a little bit over 250 presentations. Training really doesn't take much more, because I just bring the educators here to Atlanta so they can shadow me for a couple of days, and then I let them take over part of my presentation so we can do it together and they can practice. So it's a lot of fun for both of us to have someone come with me.
Right, so they just come into the classroom with you, sort of surreptitiously in the back and soak in your style and learn, and then they ask you questions, and then they're then they go back to either Indiana, I think it is that what you said, or
Illinois, Chicago,
Illinois, or to, you said, South Carolina now also.
Yes, correct. It's going really well.
Yeah. So now, of course, now these people, in order for this all to happen, you need to raise some funds, I would think, to help coordinate everything, to make the whole thing work. Tell us a little bit about all that too.
Yes. Our fundraising campaign is pretty ambitious. Of course, we are trying to raise, ideally within 6 months, $100,000. I know it's a lot of money, but people need to realize that we have two full-time educators that really earn a living by getting into high schools and bringing the vegan message to high schools. And also we plan to spread to 8 different states, having part-time educators who are great activists and are willing to give presentations for not a lot of money at all. They would be earning less than what a substitute teacher makes, during the day, and they would be giving full day of presentations. We also need money, obviously, to bring them here, to train. We try to pay for some of their expenses. For example, today I had to go to a school that was almost 3 hours away from my house. But
right.
It was great. I didn't mind doing that because I reached almost 800 kids today because I gave 5 presentations to school assemblies. So our also rate of conversion, or what we call as to how many kids go vegan or vegetarian, we see that at least 1 or 2 kids per class have gone vegan or vegetarian, according to the teachers, because we keep following up with them. So that's not bad, because each class has 20 to 30 kids, and by converting 1 or 2, it's really good. We don't know, how many other ones might transition later on, but we know that the ripples of effect are really gigantic through this program.
Wow, that's fantastic. So you actually, if you can, follow up with the teachers and see if they can actually follow up with the students. And, of course, you never know. There's probably a lot more happening than what they hear about very often. I mean, people are touched and they hear the message, and something else comes along a few months later or a few years later, and then they move closer and closer. So the whole idea, we talked about that a lot in our training, is planting seeds.
Yes.
Can you just say a couple of words about the philosophy you have of bringing the message? What do you think is the most effective way to talk to these? What's the age group of these kids?
We exclusively focus on high school students, because we feel that they're at an age that they are able to make changes, food choices without much intervention of their parents. Parents tend to be very happy that their kids are eating healthier and they're more compassionate and more sustainable. Our approach really is mostly ethical. So we appeal to their humane qualities, our innate sense of empathy and compassion and respect.
Mm-hmm.
And we do talk about racism and sexism and speciesism, so they can relate, and see the parallels between human exploitation and animal exploitation. And we really focus on whatever the teacher wants us to focus. For example, today I talked about the environment because it was mainly environmental classes. But the first 15 minutes, I definitely emphasize on ethics. I show them Farm to Fridge, which, you know, most people know it's a pretty graphic movie. But after they watch it, we get to sort of digest the information and bring our emotions to the surface. And that way, kids, instead of being feeling guilty, they actually can feel some accountability, and they can actually make changes based on that. So I think that the message is mostly a message of compassion and accountability more than anything.
Right. And having the video, you think that's crucial, right? Because otherwise it's sort of abstract.
I think so.
You don't really know what you're talking about. But when you actually see the video, it's only about, I think, 9 minutes or something like that, is it? Or
yeah, actually, we've chosen to just show the condensed version, which is only 3.5 minutes.
Because we really want
the kids not to have that shock effect, you know, like a punch in the gut, but actually just have enough enough in their minds, but have more time to actually assimilate their emotions and ask questions and get into the details of why things are done. And that seems to be very effective. And also it's not too much, so teachers get to invite us back instead of, you know, telling us,
it's
you
important.
Can't come again.
Yeah, it's important, right. I mean, 3.5 minutes of seeing animal cruelty can be like a 3.5 hours, really. I mean,
it
depends on how graphic it is. But just to get a sense that we're talking about some really extreme suffering that these animals go through that's really hidden from us, that it's this whole false story. So you kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and then let them process, it sounds like. And that's very effective, I'm sure.
Wow. And also I find it is very, very effective that after we talk about that movie, that we also show them an uplifting movie, you know, the good side of humanity. And I show them a very short video of Farm Sanctuary rescuing baby calves and how, you know, those baby calves become part of their family. So to see both sides of the coin, I think it's very important for them because they get to choose, obviously, which side they want to belong to.
Right. Yeah, I talked to a guy just the other day, and he said, you know, what really made him go vegan was seeing a video of cows jumping and dancing, not dancing, but, you know, sort of jumping and frolicking.
Yeah.
And he when he saw that, it was sort of like this light bulb went off on his head, and he said, these animals, they have a spirit, you know, they love to live, and they're, you know, they have a community, and they live together, they celebrate. He said that, when he saw that, that's what got him to go vegan. He said, it wasn't seeing all the violence. He was aware of that, but he was seeing a video of the joy of animals, and that was in the connection with them being people treating them well. So, yeah, that's really good. And the other question, of course, is all of us listening to you right now, what is it that you would like us to know specifically? Like, is there anything we can do to contribute in some way, or is there something we can know that what would you want us to know besides, you know, the whole thing you're doing, which I think is fantastic? It's great to see you going now to the second stage of this and bringing in other people and setting up a nonprofit and really getting kind of official with it so that you can reach a lot more people.
Yes. First of all, we've been approved for the nonprofit, so everything fell into place. So whoever makes a donation to our program is 100% tax deductible. We're asking people to visit our website. We have a very short video there that pretty much tells us about our message. It conveys our message really well. Then they can check, who is involved in our program. We have a fantastic team of educators and a board of directors that really keeps the integrity of the program, I think, intact. They're all passionate vegans. They're ethical vegans. So people need to know that our program is really not an animal welfare program, but an animal, we really
liberation.
Care about the, yes, abolitionist liberation program. And so our website is ethicalchoicesprogram.org. And if you don't mind sharing that with others in the, wrap-up of the email that you send always after the call, that'd be great.
That's a good idea, right. Yep. I will.
And on our website, there's a link to our fundraising campaign. What we want people is, if they can, spare a few dollars, anything helps. And also, if they can spread the word and share our program with others, that way we can get more exposure. And obviously, with more exposure, come more donations, ideally.
Right. So you really, at this point, are looking to expand the financial base of, and what's the name of your nonprofit? Is this Ethical Choices Program? Is that what it's called?
Yes. EthicalChoicesProgram.org. And really,
yeah.
we have actually almost a dozen educators just standing by waiting for us to get funding to start in their state.
Wow.
I got at least 20 or 25 emails of people interested in becoming educators, which is great. So we just need the
yes.
money so we can train them and just send them everywhere. we can be a whole army of brothers
whole
and sisters doing this.
of vegan educators. That's amazing. Yeah, because you've had such a, not only a lot of success, but you've really developed, you've really honed a message and a way of bringing the message to that particular age group. And in that particular setting, you know, you've jumped through so many hoops so people don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can just do it the way and just apply it all over the place. Yeah. Really
yes. Fantastic. Actually, we are, I think, the only program that focuses exclusively on high school, which is really an untapped
uh-huh.
niche. And
yeah.
they're really the next generation that will shape, you know, life on this planet. And also we've developed
right.
a curriculum that goes along with the standards, the education standards. And that's why teachers are very, very welcome to our program because it really covers things that they are supposed to cover, during their subject. So it's really,
right.
it really works very well. It's very effective.
Wow. Wonderful. I'm just really delighted to hear about this progress. Now, remember, everyone, if you have a question or something you'd like to say, just press *6, and that will make it obvious to me and Tara. And you can unmute your phone. We can unmute your phone, and you can say something. If you'd like to have a question for Lorena about this program or anything else. I think you've done a great job, Lorena, to explain it to us.
Thank you
I mean,
so
it's,
much.
You know, it's, I know the actual explanation is not the same as the actual experience. When
yes.
you're actually in front of these kids and you're talking to them and you're showing them these images and you're sharing these ideas and maybe they're, you know, they have, either have tears or they have anger or they have feelings
mm-hmm.
and they have
yes.
confusion. And they
mm-hmm.
have, what am I going to get my protein? And I thought we had to eat fish or whatever, you know, and you're standing up there smiling and saying, no, actually, I haven't eaten any fish in 20 years.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, it's a huge, I'm sure it's just a huge, seed that's being, planted in these young people that's I'm so grateful for that. We do have one person with a question, so I'll go ahead and unmute.
Sure.
Here and just so go ahead. You're I'm not sure who you are, but fire away.
Hi, this is Krista Rose. Thank you so much for the opportunity to ask a question. I was curious if Lorena, if she speaks more or finds a more welcome audience with private schools versus public schools, and if she and her fellow educators might encounter some resistance if she's dealing with municipalities or school boards, and I'm just wondering if she could maybe speak to that.
Yes, I'd be glad to. 95% of our presentations are done actually at public schools. Public schools are very, very welcoming. Private schools too, but I think they're a little bit more resistant because obviously their funding comes from private donors, and if they, you know, make them mad, then they might lose funding. In 10 years of doing this, you know, giving thousands and thousands of presentations, I've only been banned from one school, and that's because the one parent was in the Cattlemen's Beef Association. But other than that, actually, we have had no problems, and most of the schools invite us back year after year after year, even though our program is very, it is controversial to some people's idea of what controversy is, I guess.
Right.
But it's so factual, and it's done with so much respect and non-judgment that I think that's why it's very welcome.
Fantastic. Great. Yeah, thanks so much for calling. Do you have any other questions, or is that it for now?
No, that's it for now, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah,
thank
it's good
you.
To see that the public schools are so open to this, really. That's I've known people who've gotten themselves is sort of fired or in trouble, but I think maybe it's probably the way they did it, being too confrontational, right?
Yes. I think way we convey the information is very important. And also, I think that the tremendous exposure of this industry has helped people be more aware. So I think really that the time is prime and the need is great for these.
Right.
So if anyone can help, that'd be fantastic.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks so much, Lavina, for joining us.
Thank you,
us
Will.
Telling about this, and we look forward to having you on again when you hear some more news, when you've got some more news to share. And I think it's really important for everyone. I guess you'll have news up on your website as
yes.
things develop and so forth. And I encourage, of course, everyone, if you have the possibility to share this, to help out financially if you can. I think it's a really good way to have the vegan message reach a lot of people, and very efficiently. I think it's, like you say, you're reaching young people and doing it. And, we've met Lorena several times, and I just think, you have a great, really a great way of presenting the message. So thanks again. I really appreciate you
joining
us.
Thank you so much, Will. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, that was so interesting. And I think it's just, terrific to see this kind of progress being made. We have about, I have about another little more than half an hour here. I see that looks like Lily has pressed star 6, so I'm going to go ahead and unmute you, Lily, if you have a comment.
Hi,
like
thank
Nathan.
You. Thank you, Will. Yeah. Thank you, Lorena, for your wonderful work. I'm wondering if you have a post office box, a snail mail address, and also would you be open to calling me and scheduling you to come on World Peace Diet Sunday so that the people that are on my study group on World Peace Diet Sunday could hear your message. I would like to have you as a guest. So you could call me at home and talk to me about that if that's something you could do, talk for 20 minutes, whatever you want to tell other people in your way. And thank you so much for the work you're doing. I'm going to put my number. Lorena, I'll give you my number at home. It's 707-986-9743. Again, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for the wonderful work you're doing.
Okay, thank you so much. I didn't get to write the phone number completely, so if you can just
get in touch with you.
Will has my number, so if you're in touch with each other, I would like to set that up if you can come to World Peace Diet Sunday. We're on Facebook. And I would love to have you speak, and we don't know how many people will be on, but there's a good group on there and different people, and I want people to hear it. I want them to contribute to your mission. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll be glad to.
Good. All right. So thanks so much, Lily, for that, too. All right. So in this next half hour, I really want to emphasize that I'm here for you. If anyone has questions or problems or issues you would like me to address, to respond to in any way, just press star 6 and I will be glad to do it. Because, this is a good chance for us to share ideas together, to have comments or to answer questions or respond to questions or concerns that you have. So just press star 6 if you would like me to respond to anything. And in the meantime, though, I want to say a few things, which is hopefully all of you have had a chance, or you will have a chance soon, to look at the resources for November of 2015. There's just an enormous amount of activity. it's 4 pages, and I really crammed it onto 4 pages. There's just so much. And I wanted to maybe highlight on just a few things briefly, because there's a lot happening in the whole, not only in the world, but in the vegan movement right now in our world. So there's a new essay I just wrote called The Vegan Vision, which in a sense is the message in a nutshell, and it's on our worldpeacedive.com website. It's the most recent blog entry. And it really focuses on the idea that we're all raised in a herding culture, and This is essentially invisible. It's hidden from us because no one is aware that the most powerful indoctrination in our society is through the daily meals, which disconnect us from our natural compassion and awareness. And there's also a recent interview where I was speaking on the Vegan Way of Living Summit, which is put on by Rupa Vadadoria. She's a very delightful woman from India. She's a Jain. And she's really done, I think, a very good job. I'm not totally sure if you can listen to my talk now. You could listen to it for the first few days, but I think she'll make it available in a few days, a little later toward the end. So she asked really good questions, and it went very well. There's also a recent essay on Cowspiracy. I really want to, again, emphasize the importance of promoting Cowspiracy, if you can, to people. As we travel around the country, we really see that movie is having a big impact, and it's on Netflix now, and it's one of the only movies that brings in both the environmental as well as the violence towards animals, and it's done by, as you all know, I think, Kip Anderson, who's one of the Whoopi's Dive facilitators, who created that movie. I also wrote an essay on the Valley Fire, which is the fire that came close to our, and actually did burn down some of our neighbors' houses in Northern California and Lake County, and the underlying dynamic that nobody talks about, which, of course, is the fact that we have significantly changed climate and drier and hotter summers than we've ever had in California, and what the effects of that are, and the enormous beneficial effects of moving to a plant-based diet for ethical reasons and for environmental reasons and for all the other reasons as well. And also Madeline has been doing some of her videos, and we've got two new ones up on YouTube. She's got one making a vegan onion pie. It's really cute because this is a traditional Swiss dish, and she's veganized the recipe. And she has one up for making compost tea for your vegetable garden. This is really crucial. I mean, people talk a lot about needing to have animals because you need their manure. You can't really do agriculture without animal inputs. You need blood meal, bone meal, manure, fish meal, and this and that to really get enough nitrogen or get enough nutrients into the soil. And we don't like to use chemical fertilizers, of course, and we want to be organic, but most organic. And one thing to be aware of, this is a big misunderstanding, I think, for a lot of people, that people think that that organic agriculture uses a lot of manure and animal inputs, but that non-organic agriculture doesn't. It just uses chemical inputs, but non-organic uses a lot of animal inputs. I mean, they spray pig manure, chicken manure, cow manure over fields that are commercial and that are used for animal feed enormously. So it's just good to be aware of that. But the whole idea, of course, is to move toward veganic or stock-free, it's called, also gardening, where we're not using any animal inputs at all. So that means compost tea is one of the great ways to really bring nutrients to the roots of plants, and it works really great. So she's got a great video on that. There's quite a few other things. There's Andy Brand, Andy and Sven, who are Whoopi Dive facilitators from Africa and are joining Lily Macy every single Sunday at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They are up and they're calling in this wonderful, dedicated people in South Africa who are also velo vegans, which means velo is a word for bicycle, traveling on bicycle and bringing the vegan message. And we're going to be meeting them, it looks like, in South Africa. We're going to be, just so you're aware, I wanted to just briefly tell everyone the plan here. You may already be aware of it, but basically we're heading east now. Starting actually yesterday, we're doing 19 lecture events in 19 days. And so we'll be essentially moving our way across the country to Flagstaff today, Sedona, and Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Taos, Wichita, and Oklahoma City, Little Rock, Memphis, Huntsville, Birmingham, and Mobile, in Alabama, and then into Florida. and then we'll be pretty quickly flying to Dubai to do, it's actually quite an active vegan movement, it seems like, in Dubai and also to South Africa. There seems to be a really active vegan movement in South Africa, and we even have a World Peace Diet facilitator, Rohan Nilsson, who flew to the United States to take the World Peace Diet facilitator training in Cincinnati when we did it there 2 years ago. So he has just released a book. He sent me a copy of this amazing book he wrote. It's about 700 pages, and it's really on the nutritional benefits of a plant-based diet. And he has done the magnum opus. I think he has covered absolutely everything. it's a great book. And so he has a center outside of Cape Town with his partner, and we're going to be doing a workshop there, as you know, like a whole weekend workshop, and then we'll also be doing lectures in Cape Town, Durban, and in Johannesburg as well, and then also, of course, coming back and doing events in Florida. So if, wherever you are, if you're somewhere in any area near where we're going to be, please do let me know. We'd love to work together. I know we'll be working with some of you, like Diane Waltner is a wonderful vegan advocate in Wichita. We'll be having Thanksgiving with her, which I think is great. Tara is now in Hidden Valley Lake, California, and in Northern California, and she'll be helping to coordinate the Vegan Thanksgiving there that we started last year, and it's just great to see the Vegan Thanksgiving idea moving and progressing more and more. Right here in Flagstaff at this vegan restaurant where I am, they're just calling it a giving day. They don't call it Thanksgiving, they just call it giving, and it's an all-you-can-eat vegan buffet, all organic, and it's a really wonderful opportunity for people to learn more about ways of celebrating if they don't involve suffering to animals. So, but anyway, so that's the basic flow of our upcoming lecture tour up through February. Actually, at the end of February, I'll be flying to England and speaking at a Veg Fest in Brighton, and then also speaking in Birmingham, Bristol, London, and then flying to Dublin, speaking there for a couple of days. Sandra Higgins is a wonderful World Peace Diet facilitator who has started a animal sanctuary in Ireland, and she's now just launched a vegan billboard campaign in Ireland, which is really impressive. I really want to get her on here. The trouble is, of course, it's in the middle of the night where she is, but right now. But she's doing great work, so she is going to be helping to arrange one or two events there. And then I'll be flying to Amsterdam and speaking at a Veg Fest there over the weekend, the following weekend, and then coming back here, and then we'll be continuing our lecture tour going up through northern Florida and then up more or less the eastern part of the United States. We may be doing something at the farm, I'm not sure, but we'll be up in the Northeast by the summer. Madeline, of course, will be going to Europe, as she always has to visit her now 96-year-old vegan mother, who's still living alone and still actually doing well. I may be going again. We've been asked to come and speak in some countries in Europe, again, that we've never been to before, like Greece and Poland, as well as some other countries. So we'll see about how that goes. I'm not sure yet. But then we'll be making our way back west in sort of a northern route. So if you happen to be anywhere in New York State or Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, you're sort of coming through somewhere along there. And then we want to be back home again by October or so. And so this is something, you know, as you all know, we lived in an RV for 17 years full-time, and it's kind of fun. We just for a few days, we're back in our little tiny space, and we really are enjoying it. It's a whole other way of living, but it's exciting to be seeing people and going across this beautiful country. It's just so gorgeous. But we can also see, of course, the atrocities, the absolutely revolting animal agriculture atrocities are everywhere. We can see the way the deserts have been just destroyed. I mean, the arid regions by animal agriculture. The Colorado River is being drained. You can see huge alfalfa fields and massive amounts of piles of sewage and animals in their feedlots, and you know, all this stuff is also on display for those who have eyes to see. And so it's always for me anyway, kind of reaffirming the importance of doing the best we can to somehow bring this message to people. So, those are some of the main things I wanted to just share about what we're up to lately. There's a few other things just in the news. Casey Taft, I wanted to mention this article just because I think it's very good. He's the publisher of the second book, Circles of Compassion. He has a book called, he has a publishing company called Vegan Publishers in Boston. And he's he has a PhD in research methodologies and is on the faculty at Boston University. And he's written a couple of great articles on promoting veganism and on sort of getting away from what's been popularized. Unfortunately, I think a little bit of confusion has been sown in our movement by the Humane League, the work of Nick Cooney. They've been doing research and trying to convince people that it's best not to use the word vegan, it's better to use the word vegetarian, that it's best not to promote people to go vegan, but just to do anything you can to help them move in that direction. I tend to agree with that it is good to help people move in the direction and emphasize the importance of just whatever we can do is to move in that direction. But he makes the point that what we really are aiming for is vegan, a vegan way of living, and that this is the goal. He said without a goal, he works a lot with women who are being beaten by husbands in military situations primarily. He does a lot of research in that area. And he's had a very successful program. And he says from the very beginning, he doesn't talk to these men and say, we want you to reduce the amount of times you're beating your wife. It's like, we're going to work with you so you don't do this anymore. You've got to stop it completely. You're not going to just reduce it. And it's the same thing with the abuse of animals. We want to talk about eliminating the abuse of animals. We don't want to talk about just reducing it like that that's good enough. And so I think some of these ideas are important to bear in mind. And it's really great, actually, to see the enormous volume of information that's coming from all kinds of angles promoting vegan living or moving away from seeing animals as commodities. And there's just, three pages of articles here that are, the Mother Jones, which has been bothered me for a long time that they would never really pick this up, is now emphasizing it. They have a new article on how bad dairy is to your health. And there's many other articles here. So there's a lot of great stuff happening. Chris Hedges, of course, is continuing, and many other people are as well. So please, if you can, I know we only have a certain amount of time in the day, but if you have a chance to look through some of these articles, I love to sort of cull, I think, are the most important things for us to be aware of and present them to you every month. So there's a lot of great things happening, a lot of positive things are happening, and I want to talk a little bit about a couple of things that I've noticed in thinking about the way we are vegans in the world. And in the last month, it's been also wonderful for me to be able to go up to Portland. It was one of the things I did recently, just to do a film shoot there on a new movie about, I think it's called Vegan Everyday Lives. And, there's a lot of videos coming out, a lot of books and articles and new groups, and the movement is just moving in so many different directions. And we're seeing, I think, in our society a whole effort by the established order, which is based really on a wealthy elite controlling the media and the government and the food system and the agricultural system. We see that there's really, in a sense, almost a redoubling of an effort to keep people continuing to be afraid. And so I want to talk a little bit about that, about fear. One of the things that I think we see happening is this continual effort to spread fear through the mass media, through events like the Paris bombing, which, I think there's a lot of evidence that that was not as it appears to be. I invite everyone to, do the research and come to your own conclusions. But there's a lot of fear being sown in the population in general to make us afraid of each other, to make us afraid of diseases, to make us afraid of terrorists, to make us afraid of animals. This, of course, plays right into the hands of the pharmaceutical industry, which is now just proliferating vaccinations. Again, I gave a lecture here in Bullhead City. There's a fellow, he's a doctor and a physician named Don. He has a show 5 days a week, Dr. Don's show. He's a vegan, and he has vegan people on, and I was actually in the studio with him, and we were talking not only about veganism and the underlying violence in our society and how our violence towards animals really comes back to haunt us. But we talked a little bit about some of what's going on in the medical industry and how doctors who come forward with their patients to try to help them move toward a plant-based diet very often are attacked by the medical industry. I was just actually on the phone last week with a woman who's an MD in Little Rock. And she's setting up a lecture for me, but she told me, she said, I have to be very careful what I say because I started here in my practice, and she's affiliated with the hospital, to encourage her patients not to take drugs, but to change their diet. And she got called into the office of the administration of the hospital, and they told her that in no uncertain terms that if she did not stop that behavior, that she would no longer be able to work there, that they are not about prevention. They are about giving treatments, and that's what the doctors have to do. They have to give treatments. They shall not talk about prevention. And this is what Dr. Don was actually saying, the same thing. And he was saying that with the the fear that's being planted in us about these various things that we need to get vaccinations for, that really they're so toxic and they affect us in ways that perhaps are much more serious than whatever the disease would be, and they also prohibit us from developing our own immune system. So this whole emphasis on fear from many different angles, and now we have, of course, this attack, which is very, to me, enormously suspicious. What really happened there? I don't think, actually, it's what they say. If that's going far afield, though, from what we're talking about here. But the idea is that the powers that be consolidate their power by increasing fear in the population, and people who are afraid will tend to just want to do whatever they're told. They'll want to follow the official stories. And so that's why in the World Peace Diet, and really I think in the vegan movement in general, there's an emphasis on not only on questioning the official stories in our society about protein and calcium and all these other things, but also to connect with an inner wisdom. I think this is so important, an inner trust of our own true nature, to learn to connect with our heart and from there bring our activism into the world. And that's the thing, I guess personally, that I find a little bit questionable in some of the research or the advice that's being given to vegan activists by the Humane League and others. They say, just let us create the materials. We're the experts in marketing veganism, and you hand them out for us. You just hand them out. We know what's right. You don't really know. We know better. And I think that that's disempowering us as activists. And I would much rather see a vegan movement where vegans as activists are encouraged to use their intuition and to connect with their own inner wisdom and to mobilize their own creativity and in every situation to use their intuition and to trust it and to understand what deep veganism is, which is when we get beyond the stages of being angry or being afraid to talk about things or being judgmental and we understand the bigger picture, then I think we become enormously effective as advocates and each one of us becomes a movement ourselves, you know. And I think that's really the idea, is to not disempower activists and tell them that, you know, that a few large national organizations have done the research and we can, we have the expertise to tell you what to do, but rather that we can trust our own inner wisdom and follow, and as we learn to follow that, we will create a much more empowered movement. So those are some of the ideas that I've been wanting to kind of convey here, that the only reason people don't go vegan is because of fear, right? I mean, they're afraid that what are their friends will say or what their family will say, or they're afraid they won't like the foods that they won't get the foods that they're used to, or they're afraid. It's always fear. It always comes back to fear. And what the whole idea of veganism underlying everything is overcoming fear. It's actually connecting with love and caring and kindness enough to be different, to question the underlying assumptions of our society and to be creative in the way we approach our life rather than being merely an afraid component in a much larger system, which actually is a violence. So if we can help people overcome their fear by being loving, by showing them the delicious food, I mean, one thing that to me that was just enormously satisfying to see, I don't know if you saw this idea recently, but this news item, but one of the most prestigious high-end restaurants in London, the head chef decided to just remove all dairy products from the menu. I mean, the dairy products are on the menu, but they're vegan. So the chocolate mousse is now made out of coconut, you know, whatever. But they told no one, and this went on for many months, for several months, they told no one. And they just wanted to see what would happen. And not one person complained. In other words, this whole restaurant was serving served no more dairy, but they had all the dairy type. It's not a vegan restaurant, so they didn't go vegan, but they just went, they just got rid of the dairy and used substitutes, and no one knew. And in fact, what they found was that there were many more compliments than they normally got on how delicious the mousse was. You know, it was unusually good. And so finally, after, you know, quite a few months of just not telling anyone, you know, telling people, and I just think it just goes to show that the fears that people have are unfounded. I mean, that's the thing. We have the foundation, each one of us, for enormous confidence in bringing our message. We really have the truth in the sense of the foundation of being solid on the interconnectedness of all life. It's not necessary to eat animal foods to cause suffering and to help people overcome their fear. So please press *6 if you have a question or any comment or anything like that. And otherwise, as I was saying from the beginning, I'm going to be needing to slowly wrap it up here myself because there's people, I think, in the vegan restaurant, which is here in Flagstaff, it's called, it's got a funny name, Wild Ass is what it's called. It's a picture of a donkey, and it's a organic vegan. We had supper in there, and I have to say, it's really delicious. They have wonderful food, and it's one of these places that we just, as we try, it's one of the, you know, the perks, I guess, of going around and giving lectures. We get to visit occasionally some vegan restaurants that we never would see otherwise. And, of course, the other thing is we get to enjoy lots of vegan potlucks. Most of the lectures have some kind of vegan potluck attached or vegan refreshments. And so we may have to do a lot of driving, but we do really enjoy meeting wonderful people and sharing food together. So please let me know if you have any comments or questions about any of these ideas that you would like to share. Otherwise, I'll probably go ahead and see if Tara is available to to take over and conduct. If there is a discussion, if anyone would like to just float questions or concerns that you've been having, you know, there's ongoing questions that I sometimes address, like, you know, how can we most be effective with people who say they really need to eat meat and dairy? They tried being vegan, it didn't work for them, and how do I respond to them, and so forth. But I think, you know, if you have any of those questions or anything similar or different, go ahead. It's a good time to press star 6. I also actually would like it if you're okay with it, Lily, if you wouldn't mind just sharing a couple of words with us about what your plans are for the World Peace Diet Sunday, because I think it might just be good for people to be aware of that. I also want to encourage everyone to recommend that to people, because we like to, as we're traveling around, just recommend that on Sundays there's a reading of the World Peace Diet that anyone can join, and it's a good community as well. So, Lily, are you there? Let me just check.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know you were going to call on me, but I'm...
I know. Yeah,
it's fine. It's fine. I'll ask you right now. What are you doing Valentine's Day?
Oh,
any ideas on that?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be in Fort Pierce, Florida, and we'll be in a Unity Church in the morning, but I think we're free in the evening.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll ask you this publicly, because I don't know where you're going to be, and, you know, you don't have to say anything, but I've been doing this for over 2 years, reading the World Peace Diet, making commentary, teaching it, and opening it up for discussion, and... We're on the final chapter now. We're on Living the Revolution, which is just absolutely wonderful. And every week I send out a missive through Sharon, and I hope you're all on our email list, because then you'll know what we're doing. Right after we finish Living the Revolution, I'm going to take a brief hiatus for about... Well, whenever we finish, then till Valentine's Day, we're going to get started up again, because I feel like anybody who's a truly compassionate vegan is living based on what their heart knows. And I think it was an ideal time, and it happens to be falling on a Sunday. So we'll start, I'll kick it off, and if Will and Madeline look at their schedules and see if they can join us to kick off yet another World Peace Diet reading on Valentine's Day. That's what the plan is. But we are just starting Living the Revolution. So,
that chapter, right, yeah.
That's the final chapter, and we're just starting that now. And that may take 3 weeks. I'm not sure. I may have a guest. I may have Michael Enfield talk about his book. We are all interrelated, and it's a wonderful book as well. I may have him on talking about that. It depends on who I can get, and I would love to have Lorena on there. I really want her to come on, and either that, either before I take the brief hiatus or after when we get started again. So that's what we do, and it's a great opportunity for activism, because you'll have a place to plug people into whether or not they're vegan. And that's it's wonderful. People who aren't vegan come on the call, and sooner or later they go vegan and they get to hear Will's words. And anywhere we are in the book is fine, because it's all just brimming with the message. So you can't open the book. It's the vegan Bible. You can't open the book anywhere without getting the message. And so that's
right.
When I started doing this, I wanted to create a community for myself and not be such a lonely vegan, but actually it's worked in a very wonderful way. It's education, and it's inspiring, because not only is the book inspiring, but the people who come on it, like the South Africans started coming on every single week. They get up at 1:45 just so they can be on it. And we get to hear about what activism they're doing, and it's just a wonderful, it's really metamorphosed into a wonderful thing, and I'm very delighted to be a part of it, you know, and to have started it and continuing it.
Thank you so much, Lily. And thanks. I really encourage everyone. This is a fantastic resource to partake of and share with other people. And we're looking forward to Valentine's Day.
Oh, great! Would that be an unequivocal yes? You better check with the boss.
Right, I better check with the boss.
But I consider Will and Madeline Tuttle to be absolutely without a doubt America's sweethearts. So who to better be with on Valentine's Day than Will and Madeline? I'm sure I'll be in touch with you before then, and maybe we can just talk about, you know, how Will, because your talk that you gave about a year and a half ago about your the way you met and everything, it's one of the favorites. People just love that. And our wonderful web mistress, Sharon, gives people links to that so you can listen to that. It's a wonderful, wonderful talk. Anyway, it's wonderful. Thank you for calling on me, Will, and I'm just continue to pray for your safety, well-being, happiness, and peace every single day. And
thanks
you, Tara,
so
for taking such wonderful care of Will's and Madeline's. What is your piano's name, Will? I forgot.
Yuma.
Yuma. Yeah, I was going to say Yuma. Thank you for taking care of Will's piano and everything. I know that he is feeling very confident that all will be well. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Good. Thanks so much, Will. Yeah, that's really it's such a honor, actually, to be able to be in this movement with so many people who have really put in many years of inner work and bring their whole life to bear on helping to make a better world. And so it's constant inspiration, really. And it's great to see. One thing I wanted to mention here, I think I either have it on this week, I was just looking for it, but I want to share that link that you just mentioned of the recording when Madeline and I were on the World Peace Diet Sunday, and if I don't have it on here, I will put it on for December, I promise. It was great to see that there's a whole football club, which is actually a soccer team in England. The entire team has gone vegan, and these kinds of things are happening more and more. Lorena actually has on her board of directors, I think his name is David Tucker, is that right? Yeah, the 300-pound vegan professional football player who's really bringing a lot of people to this message, because he's not only really looked up to, but he's really in it for the animals, not just for his own health. And it's great to see in India, there's one of the biggest stars in India has gone vegan, and really I'm quite aware of a lot of what's happening in India, and the vegan movement is now starting to really get a lot of traction there as well. We've been trying to get the World Peace Diet into China. It's been proved to be translated into Chinese for the last couple of years, but apparently it seems like there's a little bit of difficulty with getting it approved by the government, because the government is, I guess, quite concerned about books that may be spiritually oriented in a certain way. So we're not sure exactly what the delay is, but it looks like we're going to finally get the book actually distributed in mainland China. We do have a publisher. Now, of course, in Taiwan, it's been going really well. And, in fact, the Taiwanese people are now after us to come back to Taiwan to do a concert tour. So we did a lecture tour. Now they want a concert tour, a tour of music, and they've already actually started printing and distributing publishing and print and the CD Animal Songs. I don't know if you're aware of I have a CD called Animal Songs, which is basically original piano music blended with the voices of animals, mainly animals that are used for food. And they have apparently fallen in love with that, and they are promoting it all over Taiwan. We actually have a full-time distributor, and they want us to come over there probably in November of next year, about a year from now, about 10 weeks. They want us for 10 weeks, which just seems so long. I don't think we'll go for that long, but and just do concert tour around the maybe I'm not right about that. More like, I think, 4 weeks. But anyway, so we'll be going to Taiwan again probably next year. And so it's just good to see this message moving through the art, through the music, through the ideas. And I see more and more people. I mean, we're doing videos. There's actually a link, if anyone's interested, right on the very first page of the resources. A woman came out to our house, and she's doing really a great movie, actually. And so I encourage you to have a look. It says, short videos of Dr. Tuttle on various vegan issues, and it's Moments of Truth Project. So if you go to momentsoftruthproject.com and go down to Will Tuttle, you'll see quite a few videos there. She's taking videos of people who are not only, like I am, more of a vegan activist, but also people who raise animals for food and who are hunters and who are, you know, animal agriculture people too. So you're getting, it's getting really both sides of the story. So, and we just actually were, 2 days ago, actually, we were at Animal Acres in Southern California, and we did a photo shoot, a video shoot there for a woman who's doing the whole video on the spirituality of animals and human beings and the importance of compassion for animals. And just being at an animal sanctuary again was wonderful to, you know, rub the pigs' bellies and play with the goats. Goats are just amazingly fun-loving. They have some young goats there. So that's something to always recommend to people. So I would really suggest if you have a chance to go to a sanctuary or to bring people, if there's one in your area, to see the animals living their lives with kindness, like Lorena said, you know, just a lot of people go vegan going to an animal sanctuary so they can make a connection and look in their eyes. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, well, I think I'm a little bit past my time here. I'm going to unmute. Let's see. I'm just unmuting somebody. Hello.
Oh, hey, Will. Hi, everybody. It's Pamela.
Oh, Pamela Zeman from Seattle, right?
Yeah,
hi.
I just got back from the Portland Veg Fest. It was so inspiring.
Oh.
There is a new sanctuary down there, too. If anybody's around the Portland area, there's a brand new one opening up.
A new sanctuary in the Portland area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a little bit south of Portland. And I wondered if you've seen that book by John Stewart's wife. John Stewart.
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's so awesome. We just went in a bookstore and, the name is not with me right now, but John Stewart's wife has really produced an excellent book. It's very beautiful to look at. It's good for the kids. It's like what makes a cow happy, you know, when our cow is not happy, but it's really good for adults as well. So it's, you know, and with John Stewart's wife behind it, I think it's going to really be excellent for the mainstream.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. With, you know, he's so hugely popular, and he's pretty much on board from what I understand. But she's the one kind of the power behind the whole vegan movement in their family, and so it's great to see. I think there's so many good things happening. You know, that's another one. There's also this new novel. Oh, somebody was. We just gave a lecture in Sacramento, and Linda Middlesworth, who's the organizer of the Vegan Sacramento group. She's done great work there. It's a huge group. She's actually a World Peace Act facilitator also. And she was handing everybody postcards for this new novel that was written by Glenn Mercer, who wrote with Howard Lyman, Mad Cowboy. He's written a novel, apparently, that is a real page-turner and is a vegan novel. So I recommend, I haven't read it, so I can't say, but it has an interesting name, which is escaping me at the moment. But if you look up Glenn Mercer, you can find his new vegan novel, and it's supposed to be just fantastic, according to what I've heard.
Awesome. Yeah, to have a novel out is great.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and that restaurant you talked about with the chocolate mousse, I think that's a fabulous idea. What country was that in?
It's in England. It's in London. Yeah,
it's in London.
Really high-end restaurant in London.
Excellent.
Yep.
Yeah. No.
All right.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody.
Thanks so much, Pamela. It's great to hear your voice, and keep us posted on what you're doing up there. I know you've been doing a lot of work with helping people transition to veganism and using video, and so that's really great.
Yep. Okay. Thanks a lot.
All righty. Sure. Talk to you later. Thanks. Yeah. Bye. There's somebody else who pressed star six. Hello?
Hi, this is Krista Rose again. I just wanted to to fill in. Hi. I'm not sure. First, I'll just say I don't know if Lorraine is still on the line, but I just wanted to reply to her comment. This is way back, but it was just really wonderful to hear her answer that she is received well in public school, because that was just a concern of mine. I was actually thinking that maybe it was private schools where she did the majority of her speaking, so that was wonderful. And then I also just wanted to say Tracy Stewart's book, I've read articles on it. I haven't read it myself, but it's called Do Unto Animals. So, and she is opening her own new sanctuary, Do Unto Animals. Right, yeah. And it's the illustrations look beautiful, and I think it's a very kind of very approachable book, which is why it can be read and enjoyed by people of all ages. And she's opening up a new sanctuary in New Jersey. Yeah, so hopefully that was. I was happy to hear that also. So I just wanted to share the title since Pamela I think blanked on it right in the moment. You're welcome. Thank you.
Right. Thanks so much, Chris. Great.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks. Great. Okay, well, I think we're at the point where I'm going to need to go and address the people here a little bit. So I'm wondering, I want to just thank all of you for being on this call. It's been, again, it's been, as usual, it's very touching to know that we're working together. I'm looking forward to seeing you again. I see that Marlene is on the is here on the call. Marlene Narrow, who's in Massachusetts, and every week Marlene has a radio program. I really want to just encourage everyone, if you have a chance, to go to her website. Maybe Marlene, since you're here, I'm just going to quickly unmute you if you don't mind, and just can you just tell us the a little bit about what website people can go to hear your weekly vegan broadcast that you do on a radio program there. Are you there, Marlene? Maybe I spoke too soon. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and just emphasize that Marlene has a radio program, and I've had links on it in other months, but it's she had us on recently. She had just had this past week, she had Veronique Perrault, who's a Wilfrid Seid facilitator, who's now living in France and doing great work, actually, in France. We were, she came and saw us when we were in Switzerland recently, and she's really plugged in there. So, and really doing a lot to help animals. So, it's just great to see all these things happening. And of course, Mark and Anna in Cincinnati, and many other, they're continuing on with doing a lot of great work there, too. So, bless you all. Thanks again. We're going to be, meeting in December. The third Thursday of December is December 17th. So we're looking forward to that. And we'll be flying off, I think, 3 days later to Africa. But that'll be, just a wonderful opportunity to share. I wish everyone a happy vegan Thanksgiving wherever you are. One of the things you may want to think about discussing, just either with your friends and family or, on your own or however, is the idea that has been started of the Animal Liberation Pledge, where people pledge to promote the vegan message and also not to sit at the same table with people who are eating animals, and just explain to them in a loving way that we can't be present when that's happening, if you think that's a good idea or not. And I don't really have a strong opinion about it one way or the other. I actually personally think that for the most part it's nice, not obviously for us, not to have to sit at a table where people are eating animals, but whether you would want to actually make a commitment to never do that, sort of a vow, to never sit at a table where someone's eating animals and to politely tell them why, as a form of activism, if you think that's a good idea, or if you think you should be free to, decide in the moment what's the right thing to do in a situation. I think it's an interesting question, actually. It's something that a lot of people are talking about right now. So, Tara, let me see. Are you there? Could you maybe... help out? I think you are. I'm just trying to, I don't know how to unmute you, so I'm looking. Let's see. And,
there, I unmuted myself.
Oh, there you go. Okay, good. I couldn't find your little thing. So, all right, so does that sound good? I'm going to go in and pick up there, and if there is any discussion that wants to happen, or if you have anything you want to share, Tara, with people for a few minutes, we usually go for another maybe 5 or 10 minutes. We're pretty much at the end anyway, but if there is anything that people would like to discuss, that would be great. I actually personally do have to leave now. So does that sound good, Tara? Did I just take
yeah, I'm fine. And
thanks so
best
much.
Best of luck at your presentation, and hugs to Madeline, okay?
Great. All right. Thanks so much, Tara. Okay. Take care, everyone. We love you, and thanks for the great work you're doing. And we'll talk to you again, everyone, in December. And if you have any questions, Lynn, just feel free to let us know. Much love to everyone. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, bye.
So if anyone has anything else they'd like to say or share, we can stay on the call longer. And if Marlene is on the call, I do have a question for her. If she's here, or if she just stepped away, that's fine too. And so let me know. Otherwise, if there's no questions or sharings or anything like that, I did want to say the name of the vegan novel by Glenn Mercer is Off the Reservation. The name of it is Off the Reservation. And it's a novel rather than a documentary. And does anybody else have anything else they'd like to share? If so, raise your hand, press *6. Otherwise, we'll talk again next time. It'll be December, third week in December. All right, everyone take care. I'm going to go ahead and end the call now then. Much love to you all.